Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Welcome in another week here on the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us live and local, 11 o'clock each day. The replay most days at 3 o'clock here on the Big X. We're streaming online at BigXSportsRadio.com. You can find us on TuneIn. You can find us so many different ways. We're also available as a podcast on Apple Podcast and on SoundCloud as well. We are glad you're with us, and there is always on Mondays coming out of the weekend a lot to get to. IU football wins, some basketball recruiting activity over the weekend as always. This time of the year, Hoosier hysteria is not too far off. High school football headed into the back half of the season. It's hard to believe that week six of regular season play coming up on Friday night. And just a lot going on. A busy, busy time in sports. A busy, busy time of the year as we slowly transition, we hope, from hot, humid, heat, summer weather to good fall-like weather. Some of the good weather we hope coming up. Although I did see, I think, 90 a couple times projected for later this week. As always, on Mondays, we start the show with the announcement of our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Hometown pizza at its best. You certainly can't beat Sir Dano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. Their pizza is thin crust, made to order, sliced in square pieces. Go check them out if you haven't. Squarely the best, Sir Dano's in Sellersburg. We had a number of big performances, solid performances over the weekend. I'll tell you what, to be quite honest, we did not have a lot of great games. We had Charlestown and Providence. It was very exciting, very competitive down to the wire. But for the most part, there were some blowouts this weekend. Some went in the favor of our local teams. Some did not go in the favor of our local teams. And we'll recap the week coming up here a little bit later in the headline segment. But for our announcement today, again, a number of performances to consider, but this is a very well-rounded performance. This is a player that was not expected or not supposed to be starting the last couple weeks at the quarterback position for Silver Creek, but Ben Landers was the starter. He was 4 of 9 passing. He totaled 58 yards passing in the Friday night victory for Silver Creek. 129 yards rushing. He had one passing touchdown, one rushing touchdown, and guess what? The backup quarterback for Silver Creek, who's been playing in place of Dylan Myers, who's out with an injury but expected to return later in the year for the big Brownstown game, Mid-Southern Conference championship game, perhaps, if not before. But the backup, Ben Landers, who's our Athlete of the Week, he may have a broken arm, we understand, as well, or at least an arm injury. So Ben Landers, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, he had a very solid game. Nothing was outstanding as far as his stats, but to come in as a reserve and win two games in a row now, the last 2 weeks, he had 58 yards passing, 129 yards rushing, a touchdown passing, a touchdown rushing as well, and an injury. We're going to give him our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza. There were some other great performances as well. Marion Lukes of Charlestown, he had 179 yards rushing, two touchdowns. Colin Flake in the loss for Providence, 119 yards. He had one really long touchdown run for the Pioneers when they needed it in a big way. And Tristan Polk, he was kind of the standout for Floyd Central, 7 of 12 passing, 84 yards passing. He had 25 yards rushing, one passing touchdown, one rushing touchdown. So some solid performances. And then maybe as far as stats go, the biggest performance of the night was Jonathan Browning at Rock Creek. He's a senior quarterback. He completed 7 of 8 passes, 204 yards through the air for Browning, 6 touchdowns, and he rushed in for another score as Rock Creek won 61-0. It was a club team, though. They were playing a non-IHSA member in Jasonville community from up in Greene County, Indiana. But again, congratulations, Ben Landers. He's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week with a very solid performance for Silver Creek. I think most impressive is he's the backup quarterback, and he's led the team to 2 victories, led the team to a 5-0 start. Big things for Silver Creek this year under first-year coach David Pappenhaus. Definitely a surprise. We thought they would be competitive and a solid team. There was question marks with some key graduates from last year's program, including Ben's brother, who was the quarterback for the Dragons a year ago and did a very good job. But Silver Creek has answered some of those questions here at the middle part of the season. And again, not this week, but coming up in week 7, big matchup for the Dragons. They will take on Brownstown, which very likely could be basically the Mid-Southern Conference championship game. But congratulations to Ben Landers, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Serdano's Pizza in Sellersburg. He gets a free 14-inch pizza from Serdano's. There'll be a promo that'll run all week recognizing Ben Landers and his accomplishments on Friday night, being named Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week. Let's take a look at the guest lineup today. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany on this Monday program. In segment number 1, we go from Athlete of the Week to Hoosier Headlines presented by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. We'll take a look at IU football winning over the weekend. We'll take a look at some recruiting stuff. We'll also take a look at Big Ten football as a whole as far as the rankings go that came out yesterday as well. We'll do all that in the first segment. Later in the program, Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star is with us. Zach and I will recap IU-UConn, big win for the Hoosiers. We'll talk all about it. We'll talk the quarterback situation. Michael Penix, any buzz on him? Is he going to return for the game against Michigan State? And we'll start to preview Michigan State. They're number 25 in the latest Associated Press rankings. So Indiana going to go on the road and take on a ranked opponent next weekend, which will be a big challenge. And I think if you're like most IU fans, I am looking forward to seeing Indiana get challenged, be on the road, take on a ranked team, and see if they can have a better output generally across the board than what they did in a very bad loss a few weeks ago to Ohio State. So we'll talk some of that coming up in our first segment as well with Zach Osterman in segment number 2. Then later in the show, Chad Gilbert, the IHSA board member and Charlestown athletic director, will be with us. We'll talk some local sports with Chad, high school football back half of the season, limited contact practices now. The basketball coaches have been in since earlier in September, so they've got a number of practices under their belt for the upcoming high school basketball season, even at this early point of the year. And we'll talk some other local stuff with Chad when he joins us a little bit later as well. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And, of course, Zaxby's with 3 locations here in Southern Indiana in Clark and Floyd counties. Starting off with IU basketball, let's do that first. Recruiting, big football games, home football games are a big opportunity for recruiting. We talk about it. We know that. Whether it's an official visit, an unofficial visit, and of course Hoosier Hysteria coming up is the ultimate opportunity in the fall time to have players of all different levels and categories and grades on campus. Just one player that I'm aware of on campus over the weekend, he's a notable guy as well. Class of 2021, he's a forward, Bryce Hopkins. He lives in Oak Park, Illinois, attends Fenwick High School. Unofficial visit this weekend to Indiana. Had a campus tour in the morning. He was at Assembly Hall, Cook Hall, and obviously other places around the campus. I'm assuming he went to the football game as well. And this is just really a good visit to see because he's somebody that's beginning to get a lot of interest. And for him to see the IU campus and the fans and what it's like in Bloomington, it's a really good thing early in his process. I don't think anybody thinks he's near a commitment or near a decision, maybe even as much as some of the other 2021 guys that Indiana is after right now. He's a top 100 kid, number 77 in the most recent 247 sports rankings of the 2021 class. And an interesting tie here, he plays for Mocan Elite, which is the same AAU program that Jawan Morgan played for as well
always kind of interesting to dot some of those details and programs and connections and good connections between coaches and Archie Miller and his staff at some of these high schools and travel programs obviously are important when you think about recruiting and how some of these things get done. So Bryce Hopkins, another name to add to the 2021 radar. Obviously, Bryce will never have the recognition with IU fans that Trey Kaufman and Christian Lander and maybe even Blake Wesley from up in South Bend as he rises to a big-time prospect may not ever have the importance or recognition that those three have from in the state and others maybe as well in the state, but he's definitely somebody that Indiana is getting in a good spot with fairly early in his recruiting as well. This is a recruiting note. Just generally, it's kind of interesting to look at the national recruiting rankings. There are different people. There's different ways they score the kids, and obviously depending on the ranking of the kid or the star of the kid, it can help the recruiting class. And there's three or four of the big dogs out there that follow the recruiting stuff and do, you know, recruiting rankings based on the class, based on the overall class for each school. But I saw Evan Daniels tweet this out this morning when I was getting ready for the show today. And this is interesting. There are three schools that have at least 2 5-star commitments from the current senior class, which is the class of 2020, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Duke. So three of the blue bloods. If somebody gave you that factoid and said three schools, at least 2 5-star commitments already in the fold, you've got 5 guesses, a lot of people would probably get North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky, even if they didn't have any clue the players' names or any of the details. But obviously, and Evan tweeted this, the blue bloods thriving in the 2020 class, and that's the case for North Carolina, Duke, and Kentucky, all already with 2 5-stars in the fold, with more obviously still out there perhaps for the landing as well. IU football wins 38-3. Peyton Ramsey, the quarterback, still no Michael Penix. He was a game-time decision, a day-to-day decision, but he did not play in the game on Saturday. You've got to wonder if he won't be back and ready, given he was maybe questionable or close for this game on Saturday, if he won't be back and ready for Indiana's game Saturday at 3:30 at Michigan State. A challenge for IU, Michigan State number 25 in the AP poll. And, of course, it's a road game, a fairly tough environment at Michigan State. A needed challenge at this point of the season for the Indiana team. They've got 3 wins, trying to get to that magic number of 6. And, you know, I know we can get pretty disappointed at IU football. You just need to go back to last Saturday when it was a 51-10 loss to Ohio State. But it's really hard for me to look at the schedule and not come up with 2 for sure, if not 3 for sure, victories for this team to become bowl eligible, definitely with the 6 wins. Michigan State might be a tough one, but I think that'll tell us a lot about this team. Rutgers obviously at home for homecoming, at Maryland following that, at Nebraska. That's probably an unwinnable game, just to be blunt, for Indiana, then home against Northwestern to start the month of November and the final trod through the season. Through the end of November, of course, when IU plays at Purdue. A look at the Big Ten Conference, though, overall, in the latest Associated Press Top 25, Ohio State has worked its way up to number 5. Wisconsin, kind of a surprise, not on Indiana's schedule this year. They have worked their way up to number 8 after a win over the weekend. Penn State, probably with Nebraska, the 2 toughest games left on IU's schedule. Penn State now number 12. Iowa, they are number 14, not on the IU schedule this year with the breakdown on how Big Ten things shook out. Also, number 20, Michigan. You got to wonder if Michigan continues to slide a little bit. They're currently number 20, but if they continue to slide, could that be a winnable game for Indiana? It's a home game in Bloomington. It's a second-to-last regular season game. Clearly, there are some struggles right now with Michigan that who knows if they are salvageable by next week or even later in the season. And then, of course, Michigan State, number 25, Indiana's next opponent this coming Saturday in college football. That's a look at the headlines presented by Zaxby's with 3 locations in Clark and Floyd counties. We will head to a commercial break. If you missed our announcement at the top of the show, congratulations to Ben Landers of Silver Creek, the reserve quarterback, 129 yards rushing, 58 yards passing. He had 1 touchdown in the air, 1 touchdown on the ground, and maybe a broken arm as well. As the backup quarterback, he's led Silver Creek to a couple victories, and he's our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week presented by Sir Dano's Pizza. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, followed by Chad Gilbert of Charlestown, Athletic Director, IHSAA Executive Board Member. Lots still coming your way. This is a Monday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star with me as always on Mondays as we talk IU football coming out of the weekend. A big win for the Hoosiers against Connecticut. And, of course, IU basketball as well. Some recruiting activity over the weekend, as you would expect at this time of year. And, of course, we're getting closer and closer to the start of basketball season with the big Hoosier Hysteria weekend coming up just a few weeks down the road. Zach, IU football, you were there covering the game for the Star. Victorious 38-3, the final score. And a little rocky maybe at the start, but Indiana football has pounced back after really just an awful game against Ohio State the week before. And now we'll see if they're ready to re-enter Big Ten play again next weekend on the road at Michigan State. But nonetheless, Indiana gets a big win, 38-3 over Connecticut over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, a win where you said it was kind of rocky to start. I just thought Indiana wasn't interested in being too complicated throughout the game. I thought it was maybe a little bit slow to start, but I thought that at least some of that was Indiana just staying vanilla, thinking, you know, listen, we don't have our starting quarterback in there. Obviously, kind of midway through the first half, they lose their starting left tackle, possibly for the season. And it's weird to think of Indiana as a 26.5-point favorite against, frankly, any FBS team. But I think Indiana could get the measure of UConn really quickly to say, you know, this isn't a team that's ready to play above its station today, to punch above its weight. We don't need to get fancy or creative to win this game. It's just going to be a lot of ABC football. You know, you saw sort of a rededication to the run game that paid off. I thought you saw Kalen DeBoer keep things fairly simple with Peyton Ramsey. And that's both so that you can stay kind of straightforward in a game where maybe you don't need to take too many risks, and also so that, again, you can conserve as much of that playbook as possible so it's not on the page or on film for future opponents. And I know it's a little bit different, too, because, you know, it's Ramsey and not Penix, and I think Indiana should have Penix back fairly soon. We'll see if it's this week or not. But one way or the other, it just sort of felt like Indiana was kind of working through that game with a minimum of effort, and to be able to do that and still cover a significant spread, I think speaks to the idea that, yes, this team, the Ohio State game being what it is, has a lot of potential. And without wanting to kind of extemporize on Ohio State too much, you know, I think you look at what they did to Miami of Ohio over the weekend, where I think they were down 5-0, and then all of a sudden it was 42-5, like a quarter and a half later. I wonder if the further we get from that Ohio State game, the more we're just going to think, wow, the Buckeyes are really good, rather than, geez, you know, what was Indiana doing there?
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Indiana football victorious over Connecticut. Penix, do we see his return? Any scuttlebutt around Memorial Stadium over the weekend at the UConn game as far as his return? I think he was basically day-to-day. Maybe a game time decision, you could call it, but is he back for a ranked opponent next week, Michigan State, excuse me, a Big Ten conference game?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for sure. I know he was doing more last week. You know, Tom Allen said that. I think just in kind of glimpses and snapshots, you could feel that too from just kind of talking to people, being around. Again, you know, I kind of repeat what I said last week, which is I think we're talking about more of a muscle injury, a spasm injury, you know, maybe a bone bruise, something like that, where it's hard to put a firm timeline on it because you just treat it and then, you know, not as though it goes away overnight, but, you know, you can just kind of walk in one day and all of a sudden it's not significant enough to hold him out anymore, to limit him anymore. Whereas, you know, if it was a sprained ankle or something like that, you'd say, well, you know, these 2 weeks we need to really focus on this, and then these 2 weeks on this, and then these 2 weeks on this. I think it really is much more of a like, hey, we've just got to treat this day to day and figure out how it responds as we go. So, Tom Allen could come out at the end of this week when he does his Thursday press, you know, availability after practice and say he's 100%, he's good to go, we'll have him in East Lansing. I wouldn't be surprised if he remains day-to-day at that point, but I also wouldn't be surprised if you see Michael Penix back behind center against Michigan State.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, let's talk a bit about Indiana's next opponent, Michigan State. They are in the top 25, a team that Indiana will, I would think you've got to classify it a tough matchup, especially given that it's a road game, but also an opportunity for IU fans to see if this team has taken any steps forward since the Ohio State contest and really the blowout result that was. I think this is the next step. It's not an Ohio State challenge, but it is a big challenge for the team given that it's on the road.
It is a big challenge, and I think, you know, you're starting to get into, and it's hard to know what to make of Michigan State, too. You know, I mean, the Michigan State team that looks hapless offensively in a loss to an Arizona State team that's not necessarily that great on its own, and then goes to Northwestern, I think scores 31 points in just a commanding victory. And so then it feels like we're kind of in that wheelhouse of the schedule where it's like, well, is that bad news for Indiana because Michigan State's actually better than we thought, or is it good news for Indiana because Northwestern's just really bad, and now Indiana will be a favorite against Northwestern in November? I think that this, though, ultimately, wherever that, you know, the Spartans fall on that spectrum, is one of those swing games that Indiana can talk about and say, you know, if we can win this, then we can really open the road for ourselves to do something special, to do something different, to do, you know, to kind of break the mold, so to speak, of what Indiana football's been in the last few years. And I know why Tom Allen and his players and his staff talk about that sort of breakthrough win. They want to beat they want to claim a big scalp. They want, you know, a high-ranked opponent at home. You know, I get that. But I think that there's probably also an element of Tom Allen that would sit down and tell you that this would qualify as a breakthrough too, because at the end of the day, Indiana can't run before it walks. And learning how to beat a good but perhaps nonetheless vulnerable Michigan State team on the road is how Indiana learns to go from being 5-7 to 7-5. And then you can get to 7-5 and readjust and recruit a little better and develop a little better. And then you can start to talk about going from 7-5 to 8-4, and then from 8-4 to 9-3. Again, you know, the old metaphor being you've got to walk before you can run. I'm not saying Indiana has to win this game. I think that there are a lot of swing games left on Indiana's schedule. Frankly, the only two games that I would sit here and say right now, I don't see a world where Indiana realistically wins them, is at Nebraska and at Penn State. I would even say Michigan at home right now, based on what we've seen of the Wolverines, could have some potential. But I think that if this Indiana team is going to control its own destiny and isn't just going to sort of fall into six wins the way that we've seen even with respect some other Indiana bowl teams do in the last few years, then I think that this is the kind of game where you step up, you dig your heels in, you find a way to win, because then you get the bye week. And then you get Rutgers at home, and I think we talked about this last week in the context of beating UConn to set yourself up for this opportunity. All of a sudden, you find a way to win this weekend. The road's open to 5-1, and then from there, you go to Maryland. I mean, just think about what Indiana could be, you know, the momentum Indiana could engender at that point, I guess is what I'm saying. And I know it's easier said than done, and Lord knows I've seen Indiana lose this game. Basically, I'd say just about every single time that I've had this conversation with someone about creating opportunities. But nevertheless, Indiana's going to keep coming back to this table, trying to pull up a chair for itself. Here's another opportunity to do that.
Talking to Zach Osterman of the Indianapolis Star, Monday edition of the program, recapping Indiana's win over UConn Saturday and looking ahead to this coming week. As far as IU football goes, let's talk about the Big Ten as a whole for just a moment. Of course, Ohio State, number 5 in the latest AP Top 25. Wisconsin, they enter the top 10 at number 8. Penn State, who is on Indiana's schedule later in the year, number 12. Iowa, 14. Michigan, you mentioned that with the struggles that they have had so far? Is that now becoming a winnable game for Indiana potentially? And then, of course, Michigan State, who the Hoosiers will play this week, number 25. So a good representation for the Big Ten Conference in the top 25. Indiana won't play every one of those schools that is ranked based on their divvy of Big Ten teams so far this year, but a very solid conference, I think, is a good way to word it so far this college football season.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly the biggest surprise would probably be Michigan. You know, I will probably continue to make self-effacing jokes about picking Michigan to win the Big Ten East, but I wasn't the only one. You know, we all sort of felt that if there was going to be a year for Jim Harbaugh with a revamped offense and a very experienced roster, turnover at Ohio State, a quarterback, a head coach, this, you know, almost had to be it. The Wisconsin performance over the weekend obviously being very alarming in that regard. You know, again, it's maybe October when you get to make sort of firm judgments about who's real and who's not, but it is increasingly hard to look at Ohio State and not feel like that's a bit of a buzzsaw. And that maybe with respect to all the concerns Indiana was right to take out of that performance, we do wind up looking back at that game in, you know, a couple months' time and saying, well, actually, they did that to anything special in that regard. This is just a supremely talented Ohio State team that between Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson found the magic sauce to just be absolutely dominant and make a run for the playoff. Wisconsin does surprise me a little bit, but I think the Michigan-Wisconsin game to me felt best summed up in a tweet I saw come across the wire. Obviously, that game was going on while Indiana was playing UConn. That said, I think it may have been late first or early second quarter, Jonathan Taylor, Wisconsin star running back, was out with cramps. And it just struck me that, like, Taylor had been allowed to run too much, that Michigan had struggled so much to slow him down that he'd managed to exhaust himself. It was just remarkable to see that level of dominance against a Michigan team that the storylines have kind of really sort of exploded upon themselves now. But you look at Jim Harbaugh's record as an underdog, Jim Harbaugh's record against top 10 teams, Jim Harbaugh's record against good teams on the road. It starts to tell you a story that's probably not terribly comfortable if you are a Michigan fan. But nevertheless, it is hard to shake the feeling that Michigan has some concerns and some problems that may not be solvable over the course of just 1 week.
Yep. Zach Osterman, Indianapolis Star, our guest. I do want to turn our attention to basketball for just a moment. Recruiting this weekend, I know that Indiana had a visitor on campus from the 2021 class, a name that is not as familiar as some of the others that we've talked about on this program, but again, taking advantage of a home football opportunity to showcase the campus and show a little bit about what campus life is like if you become an IU basketball player.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we have this conversation a lot, or at least have in Archie Miller's tenure, and I think it's a credit to Archie Miller's recruiting approach. Is it feels like around this time of year, we're always talking about the current recruiting class being almost full. You know, maybe there being one or two spots left open. You know, obviously you go back to 2018, there was always going to be a spot for Romeo Langford. You know, currently Indiana's leaving one spot open with guys like Hassan Diarra and Dawson Garcia, probably your leading candidates for that last spot in 2020, if Indiana does stop at four in 2020. But doing your work early and finding guys you're comfortable sort of making the foundation of your class in the spring and summer and not getting into the fall thinking, okay, we've got four spots and only one of them's filled, so we've got to have official visitors in here every single weekend and Hoosier Hysteria is going to be huge for us and all that, you know, that allows you to really work ahead and that allows you to build bridges to the next class while you are still recruiting the first class. And, I mean, I think – a pretty obvious example of this is Trace Jackson Davis, who was one of the first guys I saw show up for Archie Miller's first Hoosier Hysteria. He was a junior. I think by that point he already had an offer. It was clear that he was going to be one of Indiana's top targets in 2019. And you know, Jackson Davis didn't commit for more than a year after that, but there was a steady escalation of, you know, sort of building the relationship between Trace Jackson Davis and Archie Miller and his staff. And Archie was able to do that because if you look back at, for example, that 2018 class, other than Romeo Langford and Darius Garland, that class was largely sewn up. And so then you could already be laying the foundations to really get what you wanted done in 2019. We could say the same thing about 2020 and the way that Indiana kind of worked it with guys like Anthony Leal and Trey Galloway in particular. And there will always be, you know, outliers in this. Jordan Geronimo was a guy that I think Indiana more or less kind of, you know, discovered or unearthed during the evaluation period, or at very least, you know, that's when Indiana said, okay, he's taken some really tangible steps forward, and so we want to get serious here. There will always be, you know, different cases, but every single year it feels like we're having the same conversation where Indiana has done most of its work in the current senior class, if not all of its work in the current senior class, and is able to turn its attentions in this case, 2021, but is able to turn its attentions to the upcoming senior class and is able to really lay a lot of groundwork and lay a good foundation so that it can get a lot of what it wants done in that class as well. And of course, this conversation only applies if Indiana goes off and gets, you know, the guys that it wants in those classes and manages to really make recruiting work in those classes. But nevertheless, it does feel like we're kind of in that position again, where Indiana has been patient. Indiana has, you know, been persistent. Indiana has done its work early, and now it's allowed to split its time during what is always, whatever class you're talking about, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, going to be a very lucrative period in recruiting because you got home football games, you got Hoosier Stadium, you got all that stuff. Now Indiana can split its time effectively between finishing out the current senior class and then working ahead.
Good stuff, Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, with us Mondays, always recapping football out of the weekend this time of year, lots of basketball recruiting this time of year, and of course, Zach, coming up here within 2 weeks, I believe we are, is away from Hoosier Hysteria, which again will be a fun event to get a light preview of the team. You don't learn anything too serious there. The scrimmage isn't anything too remarkable. But again, the big talking point before Hoosier Hysteria and normally after Hoosier Hysteria is the recruits that are coming or the recruits that were there. Normally it's a big opportunity to showcase the IU campus, the IU program, how crazy the fans are even at a preseason event like Hoosier Hysteria. So that'll kind of be the next big deal basketball-wise to talk about when a number of visitors in town, official visits, unofficial visits, older players, younger players maybe that we haven't even really learned much about yet that the Indiana staff has made contact with or has invited to campus for this event. So that will be obviously the mark the start of the basketball season, but there'll be a lot of recruiting scuttlebutt that will follow along with that as well.
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. At the end of the day, Hoosier Hysteria from a fan perspective, it's a pep rally. It's a big organized pep rally. From a media perspective, you know, how much do you really learn? You get a little bit of a glimpse, you know, in those open, as long as Indiana does the scrimmage sessions, those open scrimmage sessions in terms of, okay, he looks good. He looks stronger. He's maybe got a little more bounce, whatever it may be. But the reality is that weekend is about recruiting. And it's, again, this time of year, not many weekends go by where you don't have some guys on campus. That's normal. But that weekend is where it's all hands on deck, where, like, you know, it sounds a little bit joking, but, you know, if you're an assistant, you're probably looking at your family and saying, hey, dad's not going to be around much this weekend because I'm going to be, you know, sunrise to sunset, just absolutely grinding away at guys on visits, making sure everybody's taken care of, making sure everybody's getting the, you know, the attention we want them to have and, you know, that everybody kind of feels that atmosphere together, I guess, for lack of a better term. And so it Hoosier Hysteria will always, always, always be built around recruiting. And I think that I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it makes perfect sense. But for Indiana, that's what makes it such an important weekend.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman, the Indianapolis Star, kind enough to join us Mondays here on the Hoosier Report. Zach, thanks so much for the chat.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Bryce Hopkins as well. He was the name of the visitor that was on campus. It was an unofficial visit this weekend. He's a member of the class of 2021, so a current junior getting ready for his high school basketball season. He's from Oak Park, Illinois, and attends Fenwick High School in Oak Park. A number of schools interested in him, regionally at this time, and nationally he's ranked number 77 by 247 Sports. So a player to watch moving forward for Indiana. I saw some pictures that he took in Assembly Hall, the standard IU uniform, IU warm-up pictures that a lot of the recruits take. So he obviously was on campus for the game as well. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk with Chad Gilbert. Chad is Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSAA executive board member. And lots of local things to get to. High school football headed into the back half of the season. Limited contact practices well underway for girls and boys high school basketball teams in the area. And we'll talk some additional basketball topics with Chad after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Monday program is Chad Gilbert. He's Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSAA executive board member, and he's with us Mondays. We talk a lot of local sports headlines. And Chad, I want to start with this because I want to make sure we get to it. I think it's a great topic, a great thing to bring up on the program. You had the chance recently, within the last week, I believe, to head up to Newcastle, Indiana, to go to the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, which is just a tremendous storied place. And if a fan's never been there, if somebody local's never been there, make sure you get up and check it out. You were there for a couple reasons and got a chance to experience kind of the behind-the-scenes process and nominating and speaking on behalf of people that are maybe going to be considered for the Hall of Fame, whether it be in this year's class or in future classes as well. But that said, what a gem it is, what a special place it is, and tell us a little bit about your recent trip there.
Well, you know, Matt, first of all, the drive to Newcastle is fabulous this time of year. You know, and I didn't go interstate. I got off at Seymour, went the back way, went through Greensburg and Rushville. You know, what great towns to get an opportunity to drive through. Just people on our side of the part of the state don't get an opportunity to go through that area. Beautiful this time of year. Beautiful to see some of the storied traditions of basketball teams, where our athletic teams, our high schools, our communities themselves, you know, it's an opportunity to drive through that on the way to Newcastle is a story in itself. But you talk about the Indiana High School Basketball Hall of Fame. I hope this year with Silver Creek playing in it, not just Silver Creek fans, but a lot of Southern Indiana fans get an opportunity to go up there, not just experience great basketball. You know, even on the girls' side, Salem girls are playing it, representing the Mid-Southern Conference. But an opportunity to go up there and visit the museum. You know, the Hall of Fame is unbelievable. And anyone knows the director of the Hall of Fame, Chris May, you know, who is a Rushville guy, he does an outstanding job. And it doesn't matter what Chris May does. He's going to do it first class and top notch. And that's how this Hall of Fame it is. You know, it's something that you could spend days in there and always want more. You know, we were able to go up a couple of years ago, Mr. Ledbetter, myself, and Mr. Ledbetter, you know, full of rich Charlestown history. And Chris allowed us to go in the back and just see some of the archive stuff, all the different things in there. It's just not thrown in a shoebox. The way they have it organized, Matt, where they can change displays in and out, keep things fresh. There is so much history and so much stuff that as fans, we take for granted just living in, you know, 2019. The stuff that was on the basketball court before us is outstanding. And to be able to sit in this meeting with, you know, just who's who of Indiana basketball folklore. You look down in the chair, a row in front of you and two seats down is Del Harris, who used to coach the Lakers, speaking on someone's behalf. You know, you see Dave Orland in there. You see Jimmy Howell in there. You see Mike Broughton in there. You see Pat Mapes in there. You know, the list goes on and on and on. Laura Titus, who Club Trillion's mom,
yeah,
you know, who's in there. You know, just lots and lots of people who helped put this thing together, who realize what a gift that Indiana has, you know, to be part of something special. And people who want to see this tradition continue to go on and on is amazing. And it's something that if you ever get a chance to go see it's worth its while. And then to piggyback on that, the men's and women's Hall of Fame induction in the springtime is a sight in itself at Primo's. You know, it's a who's who of Indiana high school basketball. And if you don't get there early, you can't see everybody. There's so many people there. And it's an outstanding event that someone who is a basketball junkie would just eat it up for days. It'd be a very special day for you and something that you need to put on your calendar.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned Silver Creek playing in the Hall of Fame Classic. New Albany has done so recently. Floyd Central did so after New Albany did. I think we've had a couple girls teams from the area get the chance to play in the Girls Hall of Fame Classic. That's a great time over the holiday break, maybe when you've got a little time off to make a trip. Not only see a couple good games in a day or more, but also to see just some outstanding exhibits and other history of our game here in Indiana. It's second to none when it comes to a Hall of Fame recognizing a high school sport like high school basketball here in Indiana. Chad, a couple other things I want to get to. Jeffersonville hires a new coach. Obviously, a little bit of a crazy situation, an untimely resignation from Joe Luce, who moves on. Chris Moore was kind of right there in the wings, a good person to take over for this season. He's got some college experience, and with the number of we've talked about some of the college prospects in the area, but with the number of prospects that the Red Devils have right now, seniors and even some underclassmen, he's kind of a good guy to help them get through, to help them continue on in the recruiting processes, and of course, most importantly, help them get ready for this upcoming season, which could be a really big one for the Red Devils with all the talent that they have.
Well, I think as a recruiter in the college game that Chris has been involved in the past several years, he's going to be able to kind of guide these guys through some landmines they may trip up on along the way, and kind of talk them through some of these things. It'll make the recruiting process go easier for the guys. So I think that's a positive thing in there. But I haven't had a chance to reach out to Chris, but he is I know him from when he was the freshman coach with Jimmy Just. And being a freshman coach with Jimmy Just speaks volumes, because Jimmy Just is a high character guy who just brings high character guys around him. So having Chris around there, he was fun to be around. Excellent coach. He did a lot of good stuff with the kids, and he was in there in Jimmy's staff on that time. And I think he'll be able to not take, this will not culture shock him. You know, he's been in Jeffersonville before. He's been around good teams before. He's not going to be taken back by the talent of this. He's going to be able to step in and continue the success that Coach Luce has built over the past several years and be able to, build upon that one and hopefully make a deep run for the Red Devils.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown's athletic director and an IHSA executive board with me here on this Monday program. Speaking of basketball and Coach Moore at Jeffersonville, practices are underway, and I've talked about it some as we mentioned college coaches getting out and about, watching some of our local teams practice and some of the great players we have coming through the area right now work out in the preseason. But 2 days a week, I think it's a maximum of 4 hours over 2 days that you can actually be on the court. It's no longer just open gym or strict limitations. I mean, you can flat out get after it and have full-fledged practices for that allowed time. Interesting, this is the second year that this has been around. It does help the season. And this is not just a basketball thing. This is any out-of-season sport. So this really can get the season going much earlier, which some people would say is a great thing. Other people might say it's a tough thing. But limited contact practices and really the season, the preparation for this upcoming season for everybody in the area is, since September 1st, it's been well underway.
Well, the one thing that I can tell you about the limited contact rule is the spirit of that rule is to make things easier for coaches, easier for kids, easier for athletic administrators. It's a thing where 2 days a week you can get all the toys out you want, everything that you got. The other three, four days of the week that you're conditioning, no balls are allowed out. So there's no gray area about, well, we're just doing this. No, if you got the balls out, that's 2 hours of your limited contact. So yeah, that kind of makes it easier as an administrator to kind of watch over that. And as a coach, you kind of know your boundaries are, if I get the balls out, I've got 2 days to do it. Now, what I expect some tweaks to come this year, yeah, this is 2 years in. And the one thing I can tell you about the assistant commissioners of the IHSA and the commissioner of the IHSA is they're always looking to make things better. And I can see that there will be some tweaks in here to make things better, whether it's for baseball, whether it's for volleyball, whether it's for basketball. Some different things that make it more coach-friendly, kid-friendly, because that is the spirit of the rules, to make it easier on the coaches, easier on the kids, easier on the administrators. And I think as it goes along, there will be some things that get tweaked that I think will improve this as the year goes on, because, you know, it's kind of trial and error. Year in, year two, I'm sure people have some opinions on how they'd like to do it. I think football got ahead of this game on their summer by mandating what days they're going to practice, what days they're going to have contact. And I think the football kind of set the tone on this. So I think that there'll be some tweaks based off of what they're doing as well that will make this beneficial to everyone.
Chad Gilbert, my guest. Chad, we only have a couple minutes left, but I do want to transition to football real quick. We're headed into the back half of the season, and it won't be long. It'll be time for sectional pairings, and then, of course, the actual start of postseason play, which is crazy to think about. But some surprises, some things we expected, and still some unknowns for local teams that are trying to put it together and maybe make the second half a little better than the first half was. Silver Creek 5-0, Floyd Central playing really well at 4-1. Your Pirates at Charlestown, they've turned the corner and have some very winnable games that could change what things look like or look like the opening couple weeks against really tough, great competition for them look like. So interesting times ahead as we figure things out going into postseason football, and it's crazy to even talk about it, but it'll be here soon.
It's unbelievable that we're on week six, correct?
Yeah,
We're heading to week six. We're beating up on the back side of this thing. And there's a lot of questions have been answered. A lot of questions are left to be asked. And there'll be, you look at the sectional with Jeffersonville, New Albany, Bedford, and Floyd Central. A lot of different things could occur during that one. Our sectional, a lot of different things could occur during that one. But the one thing that is a constant is Columbus East. You know, hasn't been beaten to Hoosier Hill since 2006. And if you got Bob Gaddis over there, you don't look for them to get beat very often. If you want to talk about someone as a coach, you think of a tight ship. If you ever get a chance to work the chains where Columbus East is on the sideline, watch how their sideline just runs. I mean, it runs like a machine. Everybody has a place. Everybody has a time to do in their place. If you watch a Terry Parikh's volleyball team, everything's in order. Everybody's got their jobs to do, and everybody stays on task. And I think those are two things that set those programs apart.
Chad Gilbert, Charlestown Athletic Director and an IHSA Executive Board Member. Chad, thanks for the chat. I think we missed you last week. You had some meetings. Glad to have you back with us, and we'll do it again next Monday.
I've been 2 weeks down, man. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for everything you do for Southern Indiana.
Thank you, Chad Gilbert, my guest. That's going to wrap things up for this Monday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, weekdays at 11 here on the Big X. Don't forget to look us up as a podcast, Apple Podcast. You can search us there. We're on SoundCloud as well, and I'll be back with you Tuesday. Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, and a lot more coming up next here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.